Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this symposium today. The fertilizer input is a very important part of the overall nitrogen cycle in the ecosystem. And as we prepare ourselves to meet the food challenges in the coming decades for the growing population, certainly fertilizer is going to play a big part in this. And for us to meet these objectives, we're going to have to begin to look at fertilizer management in new ways. We're going to have to be more efficient and effective with our inputs to develop these sustainable agricultural systems. And there are several precision ag technologies that are helping us do that. I'm just going to mention a few today. First, overall fertilizer management is not complicated. There's a certain amount of nutrient that's needed to optimize yield. Some of this nutrient's going to come from the soil. Some are going to have to come from fertilizer, recognizing that not all of the fertilizer we apply is going to be utilized by the plant due to the various loss mechanisms that exist, natural sinks within the system. We've talked about gaseous losses, denitrification, leaching. All of these things need to be managed in terms of the fertilizer input. Now, what makes nitrogen difficult, it goes right back to the complexity of the overall nitrogen cycle we've been talking about, is that this estimate of how much can the soil contribute varies spatially and temporally within the field. In terms of what does the crop need, again, if we have a good estimate of yield, certainly we can come up with a good number, but again, yield is also affected by spatial and temporal factors that we have to take into consideration when making a nitrogen recommendation. One of the most simple precision ag technologies that we have available to us are yield monitors. These have been around for many, many years. In fact, we laugh about all of the yield maps that were created over the past couple decades and never used to make any type of recommendation adjustment at the farm level. But now we're getting to the point where we have data management systems that are much more user-friendly. We're able to compile several years of yield data to really begin to identify those areas of the field that are more or less stable in production from year to year. This is an example of 7 years of corn production on a common field, and you can see annually, both spatially and year to year, we have a lot of variation in this field, and so it's very difficult for us to make an estimate of yield. But if we have a good yield history, then certainly we can identify those areas of the field that are more stable in production and those areas that we may need to look at more closely. In addition to yield, we can also have some understanding about the production potential by just knowing some information about the soil. This is an example of how we can just use a simple bare soil image, either collected via aerial photography, drones, satellite images. Clearly, we can see there's a division in this field. It's a textural change, which is going to affect water and nutrient holding capacity, production potential. Obviously, we would understand that the production potential and the subsequent nitrogen requirement to meet that potential is going to vary according to a soil change. And if we look at the yield data from this field, very clearly that did follow right along the line. Now, we like to use precision ag. We like to use the imagery. We have access to soil maps, which were prepared many years ago. They're digital, downloadable, available. But the issue with the soil maps, if we look at this field, is that the soils were classified to be accurate. We're trying to be very precise with our nitrogen inputs now, and so the soil map itself is a little coarser than we would like to use. Certainly, it's a good guide for us, but some of these newer precision technologies allow us to be more precise rather than just accurate. Bare soil image also tells us information about soil organic matter, moisture content, bulk density, texture, compaction. All of these things we can get a feel for using imagery. Certainly there are sensors available that do some of this, some more proximal approaches. There's one that's being beta tested by Precision Planting Company this year, supposed to be commercially available, that senses organic matter, soil moisture, largely for planting purposes, but they're also looking at adapting this into a nitrogen sensor. There are other proximal nitrogen sensors, different reflectance-based, there are optical sensors, there's some new laser technology that's coming out ready to be tested at several sites here in the U.S. this next spring, but All of these things allow us, the more information that we can get into our recommendation system, I think certainly the better job we'll be able to do with our nitrogen recommendations. I mentioned changes in soil texture. Soil texture is a big driver, not just in terms of production potential, but also in terms of risk. The first speaker mentioned the four R's of nutrient stewardship: the right source, the right place, the right time, or the right source, right rate, right time, right place. Soil texture changes affect the way we have to manage nitrogen, just not from a rate perspective, but also in terms of timing. Certainly, we might want to look at more split applications in those areas of the field with coarser texture, lower organic matter, and then some of the proximal sensing like the EC or EM sensors help us identify these areas. The image on the right is something that just came out this past year, or past couple of years, looking at using reflectance to identify certain mineralogical changes, which not such a big player in nitrogen, but in terms of potassium, understanding the amount and type of clay we're dealing with helps us to be more precise in our management of those nutrients. Now, all of this is, you know, this information on the soil and the yield estimate, this has all got to be done ahead of time, before the crop grows in the ground. In my opinion, some of the best information we can get in terms of nutrient requirement for plants is in season. Let the plant be the indicator to tell us how to fertilize or manage that plant. And these crop canopy sensors do a nice job of this for us. There are several different types available on the market today. They all work a little bit differently. Most of them are using some type of vegetation index, whether it be NDVI or simple ratio. The wavelengths vary from red to red edge to amber, depending on the type of sensor. But basically what they're doing is they're giving us an estimate of the health of the plant in season. NDVI, for example, is correlated with both the greenness and the amount of biomass present. And so by using different reference areas within the strip, within the field, we can then gauge the production potential and the potential responsiveness to the nitrogen input. And this is a mistake that we often make in agronomy, is assuming that yield potential and fertilizer requirement are dependent on one another, when in fact they are independent, that a field with a very high production potential, depending on the contribution the soil can make in a given year, temporal factors, we may need more or less fertilizer to achieve that yield. Conversely, a lower potential yield, we may still have to put a good bit of fertilizer to achieve that yield. And so these in-season measurements allow us to get a good handle on this. We correlate very well with NDVI and some of these plant characteristics like nitrogen content, biomass. But in terms of going from a sensor reading to a fertilizer recommendation, then we have to calibrate this in terms of developing some of these algorithms. Several different research groups around the world have worked on different regionally specific algorithms. This is an example of one that was developed for mid-Atlantic corn production. You can see the box on the left indicates the NDVI of the target area. There are a couple of reference areas that we use, some grower input, such as how much nitrogen was applied at planting, the age of the crop. We see this vary. The winter wheat programs use growing degree days. More of the spring wheats, corn, short season crops are using days from planting. And then we put some biological limitations in there. We have a lot of areas that have nutrient management planning restrictions on the amount of nitrogen that can be applied in a certain year. And so we make allotments for that and then come up with a nitrogen rate. Now, these systems have been widely evaluated. Here's some results from 33 farmer fields in the state of Virginia on wheat and corn. This was not small plot work. This was large replicated plot work done with commercial sensors, fertilizer applicators, and combines. And we found on average over the 33 sites about a 7% increase in NUE for wheat and 13% in corn. Again, this is mid-Atlantic data. We've evaluated these technologies in the Midwest, Southeast, Central Plains. Very good results. Not a lot of adoption at the farm level of this technology, though, for various reasons. But in terms of our ability to make an in-season estimate of nitrogen requirement, I think these reflectance-based or NDVI-based approaches are very solid for us. In fact, the picture there in the upper right is a NDVI map made using a UAV. And so one of the obstacles to adoption of the sensor is that it was a lot of these Green Seeker, Crop Circle, or Optrix, a lot of these sensors were, these programs were developed to be fully on-the-go automated systems. Take a measurement, make a calculation, apply a fertilizer rate. So there's no way that the farmer could know when the applicator got to the field what the application was going to look like. There was no prescription map. Well, now with UAVs, we can fly the field, create the NDVI or the prescription map. Farmer can have a look and then have more confidence in allowing the on-the-go system to enter the field with a little better idea of where he's going in terms of his nitrogen inputs. So the upper left is an aerial image. Lower left's a satellite that picked up some drainage issues in a field of sugarcane that wasn't visible from the road. Lower right, we're using more thermal imaging now, looking at moisture stress, temperature stress. Certainly in terms of what we're going to do with nitrogen, especially in season, can be affected by these things. And so I appreciate the first speaker's comment that, you know, we're seeing more and more integration of disciplines in terms of what we're doing from an agronomic perspective and the outreach to the farm level. We've got a nice dynamic feedback mechanism in place in terms of where we're going with IoT and low-cost, high population sensors in the field, is that we're going to get to the point where we can very easily integrate real-time stress information, growth potential, and how we manage these fertilizers to lead to a much more sustainable and efficient fertilization strategy. Finally, the last thing I want to mention, you probably hear a lot about big data and digital agriculture. We are right in the middle of a digital revolution in agriculture in terms of the way we're providing guidance on the farm for the grower. And so these are examples of several web-based, model-based approaches for nutrient management. We developed the one called Nutrient Expert. This is largely targeted for smallholder systems who may or may not have access to soil testing or imagery or sensors in the field. But what we've developed is a system where through the mobile device, which is ubiquitous throughout the world, even in smallholder systems, that they can answer just a series of simple questions about production practices, yield history, incorporation of residue, manure, crop rotations, economic limitations that may exist, and then it's a very sophisticated program in the background with decades of research that we can then make a fertilizer, a site-specific fertilizer recommendation through the software. And so in terms of extension and outreach, certainly what we do in terms of guiding fertilizer management is going to become more and more digital and site-specific as we go forward. So to summarize, nitrogen is one of our biggest challenges in terms of nutrient management because of the dynamic nature, the influence of biological, chemical, physical characteristics all make nitrogen fertilizer one of the most challenging for us. But several technologies, yield monitors, soil sensors, imagery collected through a variety of mechanisms can help us identify that spatial variability within the field to begin to be more precise with our inputs, redistributing our fertilizer to the areas of the field that need it more and pulling away from those areas that need it less or may be of higher risk for environmental losses. And temporal variability is also a big player in terms of nitrogen management. But some of our in-season imagery, canopy sensors, and then the decision support software that incorporate real-time climatic information into the recommendation system are also helping us do a better job. So with that, that concludes my remarks. Again, appreciate the opportunity.
We have time for one question.
Yes, sir.
On your smartphone, mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty clever, to get that input from the user. Do you also let them take a picture or anything like that as part of the input?
Not in Nutrient Expert, but there are image-based apps. Especially, we have one for nutrient deficiency symptoms that would be based on images. But in terms of the the recommendation through nutrient expert, it's there's no imagery involved in that. Yeah, but those that what you're talking about does exist in terms of that.